Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Heyo, welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast, coming to you live from Studio A of our CHGO offices here in the West Loop of Chicago. I'm your host, Sean Anderson. Alongside me, the full CHGO White Sox crew. That's Vinny Duber, our CHGO White Sox beat writer. You can follow him at Vinny Duber and read his latest piece about Colson Montgomery up at allchgo.com. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
You can follow him at EchnerWall23, he's our CHGO White Sox community leader. And you can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. That's a lot to throw at you.
So many underscores.
I think I'm just... Do people need to know this?
What?
The whole, Twitter stuff.
It can be. I'm just commenting at the number of underscores.
I know. I'm kind of sick of saying the underscores, I guess.
You should have come up with a less underscore-heavy Twitter handle. I think it might be on you.
Fair. We're being produced today by Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
I mean, I bet at Sean Anderson Severino isn't taken.
That's way too long.
But it's funny.
No one's going to know how to spell Severino. I'll look it up. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We are over 50,000 subscribers. So thank you very much for helping us reach that milestone. We really do appreciate it. If you haven't become a diehard yet, do look into that program. You do get a free shirt, and we've released our CHGO collection for our 2-year birthday. So you can go check out all the great shirts and hoodies that are up there. I know Herb got the Second City shirt, but not really the Second City shirt because we're the first city. But anyways, if you are a new diehard, you do get a free shirt when you sign up. And shout out to Jack, Ryan, Rob, and Brian, who signed up to become new diehards.
Jack Ryan?
Jack, comma Ryan.
Oh, not character. Ryan, not Harrison Ford's Jack, no. Ryan.
Not Ryan, comma Jack.
Gotcha.
But Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, is Brian Shaw now a diehard?
Oh.
What if he's going to get rid of the four-letter tattoo on his back and get a new four-letter tattoo on his back? C-H-G-O.
You could get that tattoo.
I won't.
Nick got his shoes customized to have C-H-G-O on them.
Who did?
Nick from the Bears.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Where? Wow.
On the tag, or not the tag, the it tongue? Helps you, or the tongue, is that what it's called?
Yes. Yeah.
No, the back part, on the back of the shoe.
Oh.
Yeah,
heel.
Yeah. The heel, yeah, like the heel thing, he has CHGO embroidered in there. Embroidered.
Cool.
Embroidered.
Embroidered.
Good. Oh, fancy.
Embroidered.
Embroidered.
I'm going to mute
like
myself.
Like the Nike ID thing where you put your name, so he can know what is... Those are his shoes.
Right. Yeah.
Because people, when he walks around, like, oh, it's Nick.
Right. I once bought a pair of shoes at the outlet mall that were Nike ID and then must have been like returned or something like that. And the back of them, I always wanted to do the back where the left shoe, the Nike ID would say rock and the right shoe on the back would say roll. I thought that would be really cool. But I bought some at the outlet mall where someone had just written family and first. And, like, that's great if you think that. Like, everybody should think that, right? But, like, what an odd thing to put on your Nike shoes. Maybe that's why they were returned.
I'm feeling untouchable today. Family first.
Like, who's seeing that? Like, are you reminding yourself? You just look at the back of your shoe? Oh, yeah.
Right.
Family's first. I forgot about that. Thank you. Put it on
but
my
hey,
shoes.
They were, like, $40, so I bought them.
And it goes...
Did you really?
Yeah.
And it goes right along with the back tattoo, the Brian Shaw back tattoo. No one's seeing that. Well, other people are seeing it. You're not seeing it ever, Brian Shaw. I don't understand back tattoos. They make zero sense to me. Absolutely no sense.
No,
you can't
agree.
Enjoy them, and his looks
it's
really
a large
janky.
Canvas. I think that's the thing.
Mm. You can do it on his chest. He can see it every day. Or on his stomach.
Why? But why? Because in like 40 years, it's going to look weird. Yeah. No, I don't get it. I don't think Sean Anderson Severino, or just Anderson Severino, is taken. So I could just pretend to be Anderson Severino.
Is Sean Anderson Severino too many characters? Can you not be that on Twitter?
How about just Sean
Anderson? Yeah, shorter than 15. You think Sean Anderson in
with
the
W, film. With a W in between.
Why do you think I had to put all the, I had to put my middle initial and two underscores in? It's a fairly common name, I guess.
It is.
Anyways, I tried Stinky Anderson. That one's
your nickname or something? Okay, that will be okay. I
mean, not really.
It would be if he got that Twitter handle.
What if is Scooby-Doo taken? All right, people don't want to hear this because apparently, you know, we got to cut out the 15 minutes of intro and banter.
Banter.
Yeah, hate to do that. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the dark horses to make the 2024 opening day roster, and we'll also be chatting about a little Michael Kopech to start off. I found this headline funny. I don't know if this was Daryl's choosing to make this headline or not, but
in the Sun Times, the bright one
in the Sun Times,
yeah.
Rotation spot not guaranteed for White Sox Michael Kopech. Manager Pedro Grifol says it's, quote, too early to commit to a starting role for the right-hander. And here is the full important quote from Pedro Grifol about this. When asked, Pedro Grifol said, it's just too early for that. Fair. But yeah, he's getting built up to be one of our starters. It's not guaranteed, but he's being built up to be one of our starters. Is a roster spot guaranteed for Michael Kopech?
I would imagine so. I mean, I'm happy to play Pedro Grifol translator here because I have talked to the man quite often. But, you know, I do think that it is a little bit of that classic coach speak, especially with all of the emphasis that Pedro has been putting on how competitive camp is and how everybody is battling for a roster spot. And, you know, when he says being built up to be one of our starters, I'm sure he would apply that description to what the 14 or 15 guys that they were stretching out at the beginning of spring training. Obviously, some of those have already gone by the boards due to injuries and whatnot, but I do think that this just very much smacks of everybody's got to be doing their best to, and the competition is so great and let's all compete and the best man wins. But come on, Michael Kopech's not going to get a roster spot. Michael Kopech's not going to get a spot in that rotation. I find it hard to believe that there would be another outcome. We talked about before camp started about the possibility of, you know, what would need to happen in order for Michael Kopech to end up, say, in the bullpen by opening day, and that was he would have to be just god-awful, right? And I think even if he was at the same place that he was last year, which that was a really bad year for him last year, there's still an opportunity here for him to give to him to figure it out, right? And so I think that while Cactus League stats, as we keep talking about Herb, are not the end-all, be-all, you know, I don't think you can look at what he's done and say he is so much worse than last year that he is done and he'll never be a starting pitcher again. We've heard the phrase, we're going to give him every opportunity to be a starting pitcher. Well, that to me would mean that he's going to make the opening day rotation.
Yeah, and I looked at his outing yesterday. I would say he solidified himself as one of the people in the starting rotation. While people might look at some of the walks he had early in the game, scoring against the Dodgers, that's a formidable lineup where you got Mookie Betts at the top, and I think he walked him on five pitches. Then you got Shohei Ohtani. Of course, you're going to be scared of him. And then Freddie Freeman. So I think he acquitted himself very well eventually out of that first inning, only allowing one run. And then he ended that game with two strong-ass strikeouts, and Steve Stone says that slider that he threw to Max Muncy was his best pitch. So as we've talked about before, Michael Kopech is a guy who builds up. And so I think this comment by Pedro Grifol, of course, is just to, you know, keep some motivation going for Michael Kopech, make sure that he keeps on his P's and Q's. I'm sure that he's not resting on his laurels and doesn't, you know, think that he has a spot sewn up. But for, like, who's coming to take it? Even if he was bad, who's taking it?
Jake Woodford.
He's not going to be a starter, though.
You picked him to be your dark horse.
Yeah, in the
spoilers. He's throwing three innings. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Exactly. You're killing the audience. They're going to stay now they're not going to stay for Jake Woodford's reserve. Damn it.
A day off has really rested me up here. I don't know. The Kopech thing, like, you're right, who is coming for him? And Pedro also mentions that, you know, we'll talk more about that in a week. We still want people to be competitive. So I think it is just a competitive thing. But if we are looking at the true five guys, I think the five guys are clear. Obviously, Cease, Fetty, so clear, I can't
Flexen.
Even remember. Flexen, Kopech, Emin Soroka. I don't think anyone's coming out up from behind him, because the one guy that we thought, at least coming into spring training, was Touki Toussaint. You guys talked about him yesterday being bad. I doubt he's fighting for a roster or a starting spot at this point, unless you want to bring up a Nick Nastrini, who truly is a starter in the wings here.
The only one that would be a person that would be coming for those five per people spot would be Garrett Crochet. And we've talked ad nauseum about him that he's not ready to throw five innings in a major league game yet. So not to break camp, Garrett Crochet is not going to be the starting rotation for them. But while I'm looking at it right now, he's only pitched four innings in the spring training, so he's not even building up to a longer stead. So I think that, yeah, it's those five are solid, and Michael Kopech is pretty solid in there. I think if not for the top two guys of Fetty and Cease, he's the third guy.
Well, and I mean, I do think that Pedro was probably speaking generally, and I don't want to accuse him of, you know, burying any of his players, but given what we know about how the team is approaching Michael Kopech, it's less of a, hey, we've got all these guys comment, and more of a Michael Kopech isn't doing enough comment, right? I mean, and again, I don't think that's what Pedro meant, so I don't want to say that is what he meant, but I can see where some folks might have read it that way. And, you know, to have the whole thing be, he's going to be given every chance to be an effective starting pitcher in the major leagues. We know he came off a bad season last year, but oh my God, his offseason was amazing. Looks like a totally different person. He looks so good. But not enough for me to sit here today and tell you that a guy who has been a big leaguer, albeit injured at times, since 2018 is not guaranteed a roster spot. I don't know. That kind of hits a little weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because, again, like, just move Kopech to the bullpen. I don't understand what you gain from that.
Well, he might be a good bullpen pitcher, but that means that you've already exhausted every opportunity of him being a starter, and I don't think they've done that.
Again, too, like, he had one bad start in two innings. He's thrown four innings in spring training.
That doesn't matter.
But that's what people are basing this off of. The whole reason why Pedro Grifol is being asked, hey, is a rotation spot guaranteed for Michael Kopech, is because he went out and, you know, what, walked three batters and hit one guy and then, you know, let in a couple runs. If he goes out and strikes out five like he did against the Cubs, it's all going to be googling and gagaing, like we like to say about Michael Kopech. So I don't know. I don't love.
Do we like to say that, Herb, or is that more of a Sean?
I think that's just me. I think I'm just being stupid.
Let him go out on the next start and do what you said. Yeah, we will be definitely googling gagaing over Michael Kopech. But I think it's just, yeah, as Vinny said, it's just Pedro trying to keep him motivated and also keep the doors open without anything definitive, but we all know everything is pretty much locked up except for our dark horses, of course.
Oh, of course. We'll get to that soon. I'm just trying to get one stat up for you because we talked about Kopech on, what is it, 5 days of rest, on a normal starter rest. He's got a ERA under 350. So again, this guy has shown you that when he has the rest of a starter, he has a pretty decent ERA. When you keep his schedule consistent, He's been fine in this role.
Also, I would have to imagine that the sample size is bigger there than any other number, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Certainly since moving out of the bullpen after 2021.
Let me find that for you.
For the last 2 years. But
So he's, 23 games in 4 days of rest, a 253 ERA.
That's normal.
Yeah. 5 days of rest in starting the game, 23 games, so the same sample size.
Gotcha.
303 ERA and 98 innings compared to 119. And I think the reason why there is that gap is just because he's been going deeper. And then in the 12 games of 6-plus days, 550. So, I mean, they really want him with 5 days of rest. I mean, that's when he's been mostly his.
So that would be one extra. Effective. Yeah.
Maybe that's where Garrett Crochet comes in. If they want to keep him on that rest. But when he does go six innings, when Michael Kopech gets past that sixth inning thing, he's been 60 starts in his career. He has had 15 starts, 25% of his starts have gone past the sixth inning. In those 90 innings, what is his ERA?
I would say 2.5.
No, lower.
Whoa.
And yes, Kopech was tipping his pitches last year.
One game.
Yeah, and notably, that is a very easy fix.
Well, yeah, I believe it only happened in the one game. It was ugly, no doubt about it, but I don't think that was a year-long issue. So, yeah.
199.
180. Okay. So close enough. So, I mean, when we've seen him get the actual confidence and he's feeling right, there is this jump. He's 27. He's getting used to being a starter. He had the COVID year that set him back. He was in the bullpen in 2021. He is finally got up to 120 innings just last year. Like, let's see what he can do in his third year. I don't get the rush to just get rid of this guy. Like, what are the White Sox fighting for that is so desperate to kick Michael Kopech out of the bullpen? It's not just my guy, White Sox Tom. It's not just Bruce Levine.
Into the bullpen.
It's, I mean, it's even people I respect like James Fox. I'm not saying I don't respect Bruce Levine, White Sox Tom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't understand it either, but I see why people want that, because he has two dominant pitches, then that's a bullpen got arm. But I know that people think of him as just like mentally not there, and that's why I would think, like, there's three games versus Detroit to start the season, and then there's three games versus the Braves. I would want him more to start versus the Detroit Tigers than the Atlanta Braves for those reasons. Mentally and confidence-wise, I know Detroit's going to be decent, but the Braves are the Braves. The Braves have got maybe the second best offensive lineup in baseball. And so I don't want to happen what happened last year with the San Francisco Giants, who are not close to the Braves. And I know he was tipping pitches, but I need the confidence to start off right. And I think that him in that home opener being so bombarded in that game didn't start his confidence off right, and it kind of went throughout the rest of the year. And so what would you say to having him be the third starter, even though he might not be the third best starting pitcher on the team, just because the matchup is better and a more familiar opponent in the Detroit Tigers?
Oh, I'm cool with it.
Also, then you could have Michael Soroka make his White Sox debut against the Braves.
There you go.
And
hey,
fuel for the fire.
Let Chris Flexen get eaten up by the Braves. I'm cool
and
with it.
And then you have Dylan Cease, that last game, go against his hometown team. Baby.
Maybe Fetty will be ready.
You're a poet. You don't know it.
Am I?
Yeah, Fetty will be ready.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And you didn't know it.
I'm still pretty blank to it. All right, we'll take a break here in just a second. But Kopech did say, I wanted to be able to throw all my pitches for strikes. I did that with everything other than the cutter. The slider ended up backing up a couple times, but I still threw some good ones. Landed some curveballs. Fastball was a little inconsistent, and that's going to be a big part of my game. Fastball command. Other than that, I was pretty comfortable with what I did, but I've got to throw more strikes. That doesn't sound like someone that is defeated. That doesn't sound like somebody that's ready to pack it in after two bad innings. So, hey, maybe we just see how the rest of spring training plays out, because I think he's going
to
be fine.
And to be fair, that's what Pedro started that answer with, right? Is that it's early.
Right.
And it's silly that it is early. Spring training is long, but we are still 3 weeks away from opening day.
Yes. Usually what makes a bad starter is a lead extension, which he has, and fastball velocity, which he has. So, yes, let's put him in the bullpen and hide him away. All right, let's take a break, and we'll let you know about some of our great sponsors, and then we'll jump into our dark horses to make the opening day roster in 2024. You guys ready to sing?
Yep.
I'm feeling a little sick.
588-2300-EMPIRE.
Today. With Empire Today, you get shop-at-home convenience, the right product for your needs, quick and professional installation, and a low-price guarantee. Empire Today is the best place to get new flooring, so of course they have copycats, but Empire cannot be beaten on their quality, service, and speed. So competitors advertise low-quality products that Empire simply won't carry. Empire won't promise the lowest prices, because anyone who does is putting flooring in your home that they wouldn't put in theirs. They keep shopping for floors simple with a curated product selection, because their philosophy is to help you find what you need and not overwhelm you with thousands and thousands of choices and substitutes. What they leave out of their selection is just as important as what they put in. Empire's product team exhaustively combs through thousands of product samples each year to find the perfect styles for your home, and you can check out those perfect styles with their virtual floor designer. It's a great way to see how new floors will look in any space. It's easy. Just snap a picture and instantly see how new floors will look in your room. So schedule a free in-home estimate today. All listeners can also receive a $350 off discount when they use promo code CHGO. Again, schedule a free home in-estimate today, and you can receive a $350 off discount when you use the promo code CHGO. Check out empiretoday.com/CHGO for more details. Restrictions apply.
So I'm walking through the Jewels today, right?
Okay.
Me and the wife are at the Jewels doing some grocery shopping. And I turn the corner, and what do I see but a stack, a huge display of summer shandy. Shandy season is here.
We're here.
It's summer. Regardless of what the outdoors might be telling you, it's apparently summer, because you can go buy a summer shandy from the fine folks at Line and Kugels. They are a great sponsor of ours, and I just can't wait each and every day to tell you about how much I enjoy their products. Obviously, it's getting to be summertime, whether you're going to go out by the lake or go down by the Sox or go up to Wisconsin and paddle around in a canoe. You're going to need to take some of that summer shandy with you. But even if maybe your local Jewel's is a little late to the game, there's these wonderful year-round drinks that you can buy, of course, that Line and Kugel's makes. Herb is enjoying the Lakeside Cherry. I am enjoying the Sunset Wheat, which I think also might be seasonal, but it's what I'm having right now. I'm on the Liney's website right now, and I'll just list some of their year-round beers. The Juicy Peach, the Honey Vice made with real Wisconsin honey, the Berry Vice made with, I would imagine, berries. Line and Kugel's original, of course, which is always great to get up in Wisconsin. The list goes on and on. A Northwoods Amber, a Dark Lager. We could be here for days. But obviously, they are a product of that great Wisconsin innovation that gave us the cheese curd, the indoor water park, the summer fest, and of course, the Line and Kugel. So, flavor life's simple moments with Line and Kugel's, the official craft beer of the Chicago White Sox. Go to liney.com/CHGO to find delivery options near you. That's LEINIE.com/CHGO. Or pick up Line and Kugel's pretty much anywhere they sell beer, like the Jewel's over on Clybourne Avenue. Line and Kugel's, flavor the moment, celebrate responsibly. The Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company in Chippewa Falls. Yes.
So I got Some Wisconsin innovations that you might not have known of.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know that the typewriter and keyboard were invented in Wisconsin?
Wow.
I did not.
What about the automobile steam car?
The what?
The
steam-powered car.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The tractor.
Sure.
Yeah.
That tracks.
Kindergarten. You wouldn't be going to kindergarten if it wasn't for Wisconsin.
Why is it called kindergarten?
Yeah, it's like a German.
Because they're German.
The Germans in Wisconsin invented kindergarten.
Watertown, Wisconsin is the home of the world's first kindergarten, invented by German-born Margrethe Schurz. Kindergarten's origins come from the German word kinder, meaning children,
correct,
and Garten, meaning garden.
Yeah. So they did it in Wisconsin.
But then the woman was German.
Awesome.
So, you know.
I blame her. We should just start with first grade. It's one. First.
I guess, but like,
you don't want to get your learning going early.
Nah, we had half days anyway, so it was like useless.
Where are you going to learn your shapes and colors and
go
whatnot
to sleep and having your naps? I heard kindergarten's like a full day now,
as it should be. There's so much to learn.
Yeah, it was. Miss Lambert, good teacher out there. Hawthorne Elementary.
I have two more for you.
Mm-hmm.
The blender.
Sure.
Oh wow,
it was a Wisconsin innovation and modern toilet paper.
Oh. That's as good as it gets right there.
Also, the turbo tap for beer drinkers out there. And highway numbering. Man, there's a lot of cool things from Wisconsin. All right. Let's get into our dark horses. Herb, you mentioned taking a half day in your early schooling. And is that why you picked Jake Woodford for your dark horse?
Wow.
See what you did there.
Slam.
Sorry.
I know that you guys think about Jake Woodford. And you think about last year. The Cardinal thing happened, and it was all bad for everybody involved. He was a 6-plus ERA last year. But what he did, what the thing that the White Sox are looking for this year are pitchers who put the ball in play with ground balls. And he was in the 85th percentile last year. And so far in spring training, only through like 4 or 5 innings, they've used him extensively. Yesterday, he got hit up a little bit by the Dodgers. I believe that Jake Woodford will be the dark horse candidate to make this bullpen because they've had people blow up. I know the stats don't necessarily matter, but today we had a Brian Shaw blow up. We had a Tuki Toussaint blow up all throughout the spring for Tuki Toussaint. And I think the door is open for people like Justin Anderson to go through, and maybe people like Vinny's going to mention to come through. And I think also that Jake Woodford will come through that door and be on this opening day roster just because other people are blowing up and he does induce ground balls and has long extension with his sweeper and his sinker, throwing it for like 75% of the pitches he throws.
I mean, I think the reasoning there that you've got, Herb, is sound. And I don't think, as much as Sean is, you know, trying to stifle laughter over there, hey, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that anybody that's in camp right now could make this bullpen. I've been describing it as a wide open competition since camp started, and I still to this day think that is what it is and certainly what it should be. The Jake Woodford is a starter, correct?
He's
historically
no
reliever.
Yeah, well,
reliever,
yeah,
starter.
He's here to try to be a starter. right? If he had his druthers.
Yes. Yeah.
So my point being that somebody who misses out on one of those five rotation spots, which we were just talking about when we were talking about Michael Kopech, is going to wind up in that bullpen. And we probably have assumed along the way that Touki Toussaint was one of the leading candidates for that. But if the White Sox aren't liking what they're seeing from Touki Toussaint, he's not their first-round draft pick. He's a guy they picked up off waivers last year. What's to say they can't go to someone who has impressed them, who's not going to make the starting rotation, but can be that multi-inning long man, so to speak, in the bullpen?
At least for Woodford as a starter. In the minors, 127 games started in 134 games, and then in the majors, 18 games started in 80 games. So hasn't really been used as a – he's actually finished more games as a in the majors than started. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. He's a pitcher.
He can do it all.
He's a pitcher. He's a modern-day pitcher. So, I mean, maybe he's a guy that they end up tagging along with Garrett Crochet. We're still unsure of what the plan is for him. If Crochet is going to be a guy that can only go 2 to 3 innings in his outings, maybe you do tag on Jake Woodford for 3 innings. If Touki Toussaint isn't going to be making the team, maybe you do go for a guy that can give you some length. Because I think most of his starts last year were, or most of his outings last year were over 3 innings. Mm-hmm. He had 15 outings, and I think most of them were at least over at least 1 inning for sure.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's exactly what they're going to need in that bullpen, somebody who can do that and or step in for a spot start. And you know, like I said, we've assumed that Toussaint might be that guy, but it doesn't have to be him. And it can be some, as long as they can fill that role and do it effectively, it makes sense that they would have a shot at this.
So let's go to the bullpen, just because you mentioned, obviously, Jake Woodford. We'll see if he makes the team. Your dark horse pick is Jordan Leisure.
That's true.
Which would have been Herb's pick, to be fair.
But I stole it from him.
But you stole it from him. Herb had, what, like 70 guys to choose from, and then you picked the one guy he wanted. So,
sorry, Herb.
Out of 69, here comes Jake Woodford.
That's nice.
But let's talk about locks for the bullpen. Tim Hill. Mm-hmm. John Brebbia. Brebbia was throwing. There was even a video today of Elijah Evans showing Brebbia throwing, and he looks fairly healthy and comfortable. So with this still being about 3 weeks away from opening day, I wouldn't be shocked if Brebbia made it.
You would or would not?
Would not be shocked if Brebbia was healthy.
I think he's probably healthy kind of now, right? Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
So Brebbia and Hill, I would say, are locks for the opening
day.
Yes,
I would agree too.
Is
I don't know if you can call him a lock. I think it's likely he'll be there just because he's been very reliable when called upon. But he's
probably more likely than Jake Woodford.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but this is a dark horse. It's not.
Sean won't let go of this.
Yeah. We're not doing who are these guys who are on the cusp or on in paper on the roster. This is a person that's not on the roster, a non-roster invitee that might make the Major League's staff on the 28th.
All right, I'll cool it with the Jake Woodford.
On the 28th, it happens. Oh my God, God.
Hey, I'll
Herb be dancing around this table, yelling in Sean's face.
Right when he gets cut 3 weeks after that.
I think your point is illustrated there. I mean, there's six spots left. One of those guys is probably going to be a multi-inning guy, maybe more than one, but. That's a lot of spots up for grabs. I mean, because I think those two guys were signed to major league free agent deals. They're not going anywhere. But the other six spots, why? I don't think you can point to anybody who's in camp competing for that spot and say, boy, they're in trouble in terms of that player's future if he doesn't make the team, or vice versa. They're, boy, if they put that guy on the team, they've blocked so-and-so. I mean, I think the chips can really fall any number of ways. You would be like, all right, that's a bullpen.
Yeah. Well, and two, it's just some of these guys, Knebel, he was interesting, but he really hasn't been healthy, so we're really not sure, what he can actually provide. Justin Anderson, we've heard a lot about.
From Ethan Katz.
Yeah, Leone.
I don't know. Yeah, Leone as well. So, Brebbia, Hill, Banks are the first year locks.
I wouldn't put Banks in that group. Okay. I think he's likely. I think Davey Garcia is likely, but I wouldn't call him locks by any stretch.
Man, so what an ugly
bullpen. You got Davey Garcia being the closer.
I'm just half joking. I mean,
why not? They don't have a closer.
Right. I mean, how many games do you necessarily need to close if you're the 2024 White Sox?
Right. And that's why I say my dark horse is Jordan Leisure, because this guy is on a track, on a path where he could be the closer of the future for this team. Why not get that future started now? I mean, the guy is impressing the hell out of people down in minor league camp. Herb, you brought up their whole strategy of trying to get ground balls so the infield can clean them up. Why not give your infield an inning off and let Jordan Leisure just strike everybody out? I mean, I don't know if that's how it's going to play out, particularly once he starts facing major league hitting on a regular basis, but it seems they got a guy here who is very well suited potentially to that role of being a reliever. Sometimes you get these prospects in a trade. Even the guy that came over, Nick Mastrini, in that same deal. And you're like, hey, there's reason to be excited, but I have no idea how it's going to go. We'll have to see how it goes with him. When you're pointing to these people being relievers, it might be a little bit more like, all right, you just got to go out there for one inning, face three guys, get them all out, and, you know, let her rip kind of thing. So I think he's been impressing people so much in camp, and the competition is what it is in that bullpen, as we have been laying out, that why doesn't he have as good a shot as anybody else? The only thing that would be keeping him back is there's no rush to get him to the big leagues, right? And they can say, well, we'll go with Dominic Leone for a month or so, see how it works. If it doesn't work, then Jordan Leisure can come up then. There's no harm to giving that guy more seasoning at the minor league level. But if we're talking about a dark horse to make the team and you want to focus in on some of these prospect guys who are the future of this team, I think he's got probably the best chance of that group to make the opening day roster.
This might be a silly question, but as we're moving on with spring training, you get the starters getting that first three innings today, like Dylan Cease did. And then the next guy coming in is being put in after the starter, a signifier of what the faith in the White Sox have in him, because they came in and he pretty much had a clean inning with Jordan Leisure today.
I would say mostly no, but that being said, the earlier in the game, in a spring training game you pitch, the better your chances are that you're going to face actual major league hitting. Okay. And so while it's spring training, that major league hitting is not where it's going to be a month from now, even, you know, it gives him an opportunity that he might not had they put him in the eighth or the ninth.
Yeah, and the Brewers lineup, even spring training or not, is pretty fairly ugly. So I don't know how tough it was. He did face Weimer, Clark. I don't know who Clark is, and then Edgar Caro's brother. So I mean, not the fiercest competitors out there, but he
hasn't let up anything this whole spring. Four outings, nothing.
No, and I mean, it's tough to talk you out of it, Vinny, when you look at his stats over the last year. And yes, he might have a walk per nine around 4.5, but his strikeout per nine is about 15.5. So that's pretty decent.
That works. That's
there's
a good trade-off.
There's just nothing for the infield to do. They should just go sit in the dugout.
Literally. Better off there. And he gives up 1.79 homers per nine. So it's literally just three true outcomes. It'd be fun to see Leisure, but I also think, you know, he only had 13 innings last year in AAA, and those were his only taste of Major League Baseball. We see Paul Skeens, the former number one overall pick, being told that he'll be in the minor leagues for the Pirates this year. He's only pitched about 6 innings in the minor leagues. Maybe he just needs a little bit more tightening up there. But also, I mean, like, here's the list.
Herb is being very distracted by this random dog that's barking.
It's weird. I thought the Ben Caught Stealing was about to start. Oh, Jane's Addiction.
I got you.
Okay.
I thought you meant Ben. Like, oh. Ben, a person. And yeah, I was like, no. Who's Ben? The contenders to make this bullpen, Brebbie and Hill are the locks. You need 6 more. Garcia, Banks, Woodford, Spees, Baroa, Peralta, Horn, Knebel, Anderson, Chavez, Crochet, Leisure. Did I miss anyone?
Probably, but that sounded a lot of guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jesse Chavez has been bad, but maybe they trust him because he's a veteran. Garcia's look good, as you mentioned. Leisure's look good.
I mean, we were talking before. I know he had a blow-up game, and I said to you, I was like, Brian Shaw, even though he's done this, is making this team. I think Pedro likes the player and knows that these results for Brian Shaw don't matter, and he can give him quality innings at the end of a game.
5 days in a row.
Exactly. And so, like, I think that if there's not a lock, but you like a guy, like Pedro likes Brian Shaw, like Tito Francona, like Brian Shaw, that guy will be given the benefit of the doubt over other people who might be better for this bullpen and let Brian Shaw be bad up to a point. And then, like, all right, you don't have any more, Brian.
I do hear you, but Brian Shaw, notably good in April, May, and August and September. So I think he starts off pretty decently. Maybe then they'll send him down to the minor leagues and then bring him back up for August and September. There's,
or
some,
maybe,
there's
maybe
something about that arm.
Phantom IL stint in the middle of the year.
There you go. I didn't put Brian Shaw on that list. So that's a good addition.
Oh, yeah. I think he's, again.
He gives a lock?
I don't think he's a lock, but I would say for a lot of these guys, the descriptor I've been using is as good a shot as anybody else. And I think there's no, to me, for the reasons that Herb just gave, I think Brian Shaw will be on the team on opening day.
Yeah, I just took off Peralta and Horn. I think they're probably a little bit too green. Spies and Barreau are pretty comparable, just with guys that really don't have any command, but just crazy stuff. You talk about Woodford is able to give you extra amount of innings. Garcia has probably one of the best fastballs in the bullpen and has been able to go two innings before. Shaw obviously just has a rubber arm, and you could probably throw him out 130 times in a year. Justin Anderson, well-liked. Jordan Leisure obviously has crazy stuff. And then Crochet, if we have no idea really what the plan is. So we'll still see how this shakes out. All right, final thing. Let's go to...
Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse. Thank you. No, I was trying to figure out where we were going after this. It's Danny Mendick. Lenine Sosa making the team over Danny Mendick. John Triffin's talking about how slimmed down Danny Mendick is out at second base. I think, again, he has more versatility than Lenine Sosa. I think you could trust him more in the infield and outfield just to play those defensive situations. You're not really looking for a fifth bat on the or a fifth infielder to really provide the pop that I guess Sosa could contribute. Brain fog. But I think Mendick wasn't that bad with the Mets last year in Syracuse. And two, he's coming off a huge major injury. And for him to basically hit 800 in AAA, I think he probably has the ability to bounce back. He's still under 30. I think that there's a reason the Sox brought him back. And I think it's just kind of the veteran, you know, he's not going to be too high. He's not going to be too low. He's just going to provide you just flat baseball where Sosa can just be horrendous. Because we're really not sure what he is.
Well, and I think the way that I've described Zach Remillard this spring probably applies to Danny Mendick too, right? Danny Mendick will do absolutely anything that the manager asks him to do, and the manager can have confidence that Danny Mendick will probably be able to get it done, right? Yeah. Whether that is a bunt or to move a runner over or whatever, it seems like he's a guy that could have that sort of skill set, play a decent defense, like you said, and I would not be surprised if he is the fifth infielder. When I was splitting hairs between it, I was going with a guy who maybe could hit you a few home runs and also maybe has a ceiling a little bit further up there, a little bit farther up there than Danny Mendick does. But for a manager who is talking about playing a certain way and getting guys who will come in here and do everything that they're asked, why not deliver the certainty of that or more certainty of that with Mendick, even if the offensive numbers don't come around? There's a lot of guys who are going to be starting for this team where they're out there even if the offensive numbers don't come around. So I think Mendick would certainly fit with the theme that we've seen with a lot of the newcomers, even though he's a guy who's been here before, a lot of the newcomers this offseason.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And also, I think Danny Mendick has slightly more speed than Lenine Sosa, too. So late-inning pinch-running situations and the versatility of both infield and outfield in major leagues. So I think that's what he has over Lenine. And also, as Vinny said, when you put Danny Mendick into the game, I'm never like, man, this is going to be a terrible game. Like, that guy's going to mess up the game. Because his effort is always just, all right, that's good. And sometimes you get a peak, and sometimes he'll be a little bit off, but it's never like, man, Mendick doesn't know baseball. His baseball IQ is at a level you can't play with. As you said, he's a smart baseball player that will do everything that needs to be done. And I actually like the player. So I think that him being the fifth infielder / fifth outfielder, if they even need a spot, he is a good person to have out there. In pinch running situations, I think you would have him over Sosa and other people. And possibly, even though he's never done it in major leagues, they could play first base if he needs to pinch run for like Andrew Vaughn or something like that.
Let's take a break, and then we'll jump into some questions I have for you guys since I missed yesterday's show. But we want to let you know about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America.
I'm a fan.
I heard from that noise. What a squelch. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. And conference tournaments are here, which means you're not going to work. And the biggest moments in college basketball are getting closer, so don't miss out on them. Be a part of the action on Prize Picks for both men's and women's college basketball. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And you can make your entries in less than 60 seconds. So go to prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/CHGO and use code CHGO. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
They have a multi-home run game prize pick category. Luis Robert at 2.5, more or less. So I put him in there. Jose Abreu with a 0.5. So he has had just one game.
He's washed. He's old.
Wow, what a hater. Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of...
He's older than Vinny.
Oh, my God. Are you calling Vinny dead?
Who? No, saying, Jose Abreu?
Yeah.
He's so young. Whole numbers older than me because we have the same birthday.
How many...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But one? Right. No, yeah, whole number. I was about to say, he's not the same age.
I think he's 3 years older than me.
Okay.
But real quick, how many multi-game homers did Luis Robert have last year?
Two. Okay. Charlie the Bacon Guy is based out of Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes craft bacon and bacon jams in over 30 different flavors. The bacon and bacon jams are all naturally cured, fancy preservative-free product. There aren't any ingredients that Charlie cannot pronounce himself involved in the process, unlike other store-bought bacon. It's vacuum-sealed and freezes great. Lasts in the package up to 45 days in the fridge and 6 months in the freezer. Bacon jam lasts about 60 days in the fridge and up to 6 months in the freezer. And I heard Cody Del Mendo say, if you're having your bacon in the freezer, you're doing it wrong. Because bacon can be cooked every day and eaten at any time. More for breakfast or lunch, dinner. You can have a BLT. I have had some of that chili lime bacon that Charlie has out there. But you can get some of their flavors like maple pepper, cheddar, Korean barbecue, beer cured, red wine, jardinera, French
Korean
toast.
Barbecue, that sounds good.
You know? Applewood smoked. He had Malort bacon, and you would think it would taste like Malort. It's got the hint, but it also brings out the delicious flavor of bacon. So it takes over all the Malort flavor, and it's actually great bacon to eat. And bacon jam flavors are original, which I have at the house, bourbon, spicy, and peach. The bacon jams goes perfectly on anything, scrambled eggs, toast, crackers, burgers, grilled cheese, cinnamon rolls, or Charlie's favorite, the spoon. You can pick it up, which is the easy and most efficient way for you to get your bacon. Or you can meet halfway with Charlie or even ship it to you. He makes the bacon so you can bring it home. Head on over to charliethebaconguy.com to place your order. Or on Instagram, it's charliethebaconguy. On Twitter, it's czthebaconguy. Email him, of course, at charliethebaconguy@gmail.com. And his website is www.charliethebaconguy.com.
You know what looked real good when Sarah was scrolling through the site with the whole list of the flavors on it?
Mm-hmm.
And buffalo bacon jam. Sounds like I'd probably eat that in about 5 seconds.
It's like hot
finish
sauce?
It.
No, it's just
buffalo flavored.
Yeah.
But like buffalo hot sauce or like buffalo meat?
No, like no, not buffalo meat. That's bacon, but it's buffalo flavor, like your barbecue wings. Yeah.
Buffalo is hot sauce and butter combined with each other.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it does sound great.
I could complain.
I love the buffalo flavor. Mm. It's too much snow up in that city, but they nailed that sauce.
Hey, technically, we only have to do a 45-minute show. And I mean, also, we got 2 minutes to fill. You guys are going to go get wings after this?
It sounds good.
I mean, wings. I don't know. I've been to Buffalo. I didn't eat the wings. I don't know.
What are you doing, Herb?
Why'd you go to Buffalo?
We're just in the area. I think we're on our way to Cooperstown, and Buffalo, if you drive, is kind of just offshoot of the highway you got to go to. So
that seems like your issue. It's just not planning a trip to Buffalo and just
no
meandering into Buffalo.
No, we were supposed to go when we went to Toronto to go to Buffalo and Niagara Falls too, but we did not make it. We just stayed in Toronto.
All right. Well, let's go to yesterday's show because you guys talked about Colson Montgomery. Vinny wrote about it too up at allchgo.com. Soroka isn't a dark horse. He's definitely on the team.
It's buffalo meat. A lot of people. Buffalo burgers are delicious.
I mean, but can I play scientist for a little bit here?
Okay.
So buffalo is an incorrect term for what we call a buffalo.
Bison.
Bison. So I'm sure people do eat buffalo meat, but buffalo are from the opposite side of the world. You find them in Africa and other places in the Eastern Hemisphere. We in the Western Hemisphere, here in the New World, so to speak, we have the bison, the American bison. So when you're at a restaurant and you see a bison burger, eat it up. It's real good. I love a bison burger.
Do you call it bison like the North Dakota people?
No.
Okay.
But you went to the Dakotas.
I did go there, yes.
Congrats.
That was part of yesterday's show.
And almost got ate by a bison.
They're not going to eat you. They're vegetarians.
It's okay. The reverse. Yeah. You know?
You just eat gore them, you and just lead you to the side.
So where did you guys end up with Colson? He's going to start in AAA?
Yes.
Okay. These are the 13 hitters that I think would be on the Knights team. And just let me know if I'm wrong.
You're doing AAA roster projection right now?
Yeah, this is based off of FanGraphs. Corey Lee and Carlos Perez.
Yep.
With Caro being in AA.
Correct.
Elko and Colas being your somewhat first baseman.
I don't know why Colas is playing first base, but okay.
And I think Elko is probably a little bit too raw to be in AAA already, so there's not
maybe
really
that's
a lot
why
of,
Colas is playing first base.
Right. There's not a lot of first basemen. Third base is Ramos.
Okay.
Second base and shortstops are Shoemake, Popeye, Sosa, Montgomery.
That's a lot. That's a lot of guys that you would probably rather have playing every day, right?
Right. And none of those guys are tall enough outside of Colson to actually play first base. So it's not like you can move Shoemake over to first.
Obviously, you got a DH spot, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who plays that.
You could rotate on a regular basis.
Yeah, I guess maybe
Popeye.
Yeah.
Or Sosa.
Outfield, Deloach, Colas, Burdick, and then Mark Payton.
I think Colas should be starting somewhere in the outfield.
Because that's what he would be if you had to call him, if you were going to call him back up to the major leagues. Yeah. You wouldn't want to spend the year, or you wouldn't want to spend however many months playing him at first base and being like, oh, his offense is fixed now, let's bring him up, and then he can't play right field because he's not going to be playing first base or DH at the major league.
Well, and I think he's the best center fielder out of those four, too.
Would you put him in, like, yeah, I think he is the best center fielder out of those four, but would you prepare him for the job he's going to be having in the major leagues, which would more than likely be right field, or would you put him in center field because he can play center field in Charlotte, but when he gets up to the majors, he's back to right field?
I mean, I would put him in the outfield to make sure that he's working on the things that he couldn't do in the outfield last year, right? I mean, that was part of what was so glaringly problematic about Oscar Colas's play last year. It wasn't just what he was doing at the plate. You know what I mean? If it's like, hey, these are the things you need to work on offense, go to AAA, figure them out, you'll be right back. It was really sport-wide, right? I mean, everything he was doing out there was not up to snuff, and that included the defense. I mean, he's getting balls hit to him in the outfield and he can't pick them up. He's, you know, he's making misreads out there, the bad throws from right field where he's missing the cutoff man. These are the things that you need to get him up to speed on. If that can be done by putting him in center field every day, then sure, put him in center field every day. But to me, if you're going to play him at first base or DH on a regular basis, that is not taking advantage of the minor league time, not taking advantage of trying to fix those problems, because the only way that he's going to be called up to the major league team is to play in the outfield, unless there were to be a mid-season trade in which Aloy would go somewhere else. But certainly Andrew Vaughn's not going anywhere off of first base. So to me, you have to have Oscar Colas ready to play major league outfield.
Yeah, and I don't care if he's playing center field or right field, because, I mean, especially too, at center field's a more difficult position, and I think that would just make it more appealing to other teams. Like, you know, this is a guy that can play every single position in the outfield and first base. Especially while he's this young, I don't think there's a reason to keep him away from the outfield at all. And then the other thing was just looking at some Pecota projections, because we've made so much big of a deal of the 0.0% chance Animal House style for the White Sox in 2023. In 2021, Pecota projected the White Sox to go 83-79 with a 13% chance to win the division. Herb, what happened in 2021?
They won more than that.
They won more than that and won the division. Yeah. There you go. In 2022, they were projected to go 91-71 with a 71.2% chance to win the division. Herb, what happened?
They went 81-81.
Oh, okay. And then 2023, they were projected to win 78 games, go 78-84 with a 3.4% chance to win the division. Herb, what happened?
They didn't win those many games. And I laughed at the 78 games. Like, come on, Pecota. Right. They just won 81 with Tony La Russa, the worst manager ever. And then it got worse.
Yeah, it got real worse.
Much worse.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm laughing at, you know, Kevin Pillar, who might not even make the team, saying it's us versus them. Like, I laughed at even Michigan, who said that, and they turned it into a national championship. I don't think the White Sox are going to be turning this into a World Series. But with the Pecota projections, they've been off by at least 10 wins every single year. 83-79, they went 93-69. 91-71, they went 81-81. And then 78-84, they went 61-101. I find it odd that they're just kind of completely ruled out, I guess. I think that there could be a 75-win team in here. I've said this before, but I don't know. It doesn't feel like... It doesn't feel like they're that bad. It does feel like people are sleeping on them in a way.
I think also those wild swings are Pecota not knowing what a Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams team will do once it's out there on the field. This team is a little bit different than a Rick Hahn, Kenny Williams put together team. And so maybe it's more to the number than what the teams before it was. So this is the first time that Chris Getz gets to see what his staff can do. And it's what, 63 games they have him for? The wins? 64 games?
Yeah, 63.
Okay. I also agree with you. I don't know if I'm as high on them as you are, 75 wins, but I'm 100% over 64 wins, because last year I think was just the bottom of the barrel. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong. This year I think they've done a little bit more active things to make sure that when things do go wrong, they'll be replaced with somebody at least as a not going to fall off the table type of player like Tim Anderson did last year. Goodness gracious.
65-96 are what they're projecting.
God damn, that's tough. That's real tough. But I'll go over.
Yeah, I'll go over too. I don't know. I don't really see it happening. Anyways, that's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast.
Can you place a prize picks thing that goes more than? That'll be great. I'm going to do that. That goes 10 wins more than? As Pecota has been doing?
You have the app on your phone. I don't know why you're asking me. I have no clue.
If they don't, the I'm going to send a thing to PrizePicks and say, hey, they're going 10 games over because Sean said so.
Thank you, Herb. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you're hitting that subscribe button. That's Vinny Duber. You can follow him at Vinny Duber. He's our CHGO White Sox beat writer. The man in the middle is Herb Lawrence. You can follow him at Eckner-Wall23. He's our CHGO White Sox community leader. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox. Thank you to Sarah for producing the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5 p.m. Goodbye. Y'all silly like the mayor.